Hey everyone, welcome back to Tactics Imperium, your home for tactical breakdowns straight from the heart of Serie A calcio. I am your host, Gianluca Lia, and with just 3 matches to go, the race is getting seriously spicy. After last weekend's results, Napoli remain top of the table, still 3 points clear of Inter. Both sides, Napoli and Inter, picked up wins as they chased this season's Scudetto. And you know what? It's far from over. Now, in this episode, we are diving into Napoli's win over Lecce, and also we will take a quick look at Bologna's 1-1 draw with Juventus, a game that tells us a lot about where the Bianconeri are right now. So, let's not waste time. This is Tactics Imperium, powered by Serie A Spotlight. Make sure to follow us on all socials, leave a rating on this episode, and why not, drop us a comment or send your questions so I can answer them in the next one. Right. Let's get into action. Let's start with Napoli's win at Lecce. And I want to speak about Napoli's tactical evolution and where Conte tinkers again. Napoli came out on top against Lecce, and once again we saw Antonio Conte putting his stamp on this team. Let's start with out of possession. They kept their usual 43, but left back Oliveira was often shifting inside to form a central partnership with the other center back Rahmani. And we'll get back to this in a minute. In possession, when Napoli were attacking, here where things got interesting. Napoli morphed into a kind of 4-1-3-2 formation, however, not really a fixed one. You had Raspadori drifting up alongside Lukaku, McTominay just behind them, often very high up as well, with Anguissa as well also joining the party. Meanwhile, on the left, Spinazzola was pushed up high on the left, and on the right, Politano and Di Lorenzo alternated. One would push forward and the other tucks in to support and attacks the half spaces. Meanwhile, this left Lobotka holding the fort just in front of Oliveira and Rahmani, controlling the build-up from deep. Which means Napoli were attacking with 7 players. And this gave Napoli loads of numbers in attack. They had the ability to flood the final third, stretch Lecce's backline and attack space behind. Meanwhile, Lecce had to defend deep and compact, but Napoli really smothered them and stayed in control throughout the match. Now, even defensively, Napoli didn't go wide with pressing. They didn't need to. In the first half, in fact, Lecce barely threatened. Napoli dominated possession with 59%, and every time they raised the tempo, you could sense something was coming for those who watched the match. And in fact, it did. Raspadori scored and that settled them. They eased off slightly, but they had done the job. Napoli have now won 4 straight matches without conceding. And credit where it's due. Conte, in LMA, has given this team new tactical tools to work with, and is genuinely impressive. He keeps reminding the media in his post-match press conferences, and sometimes even in his pre-match press conferences, of his work, open inverted commas, in emergency mode, close inverted commas. And honestly, I think he is right, because this is a strong team, coached by one of the best in the business, and that is why they are now just 7 points away from this year's Scudetto. And with that, we move on to the Stadio Dall'Ara, where we take a quick look at Bologna's 1-1 draw against Juventus. And let's talk about Juventus, because let's be honest, Bianconeri, things are not great. Some familiar problems are bubbling back up under Igor Tudor. Players being sidelined, tactical inconsistency, and honestly, even Tudor's touchline body language, both in the matches and also in his press conferences, isn't really sending the best vibes. And I don't know if you Bianconeri out there agree with me on this. On the other side, he's trying to prove things. However, there is an important stat that might be concerning. And I believe it is, because Juventus scored 0 goals in the second half under Tudor. And I think that says a lot. They are not evolving through the game, and they are not adjusting. Just kind of running on fumes after the first half. Now, let's break down the 2 goals from this match, because I think these were very important and reflective of the 2 teams, especially Juventus. Positive part and negative part as well. Let's start with Juventus. And most probably this was something that they worked on in training. So, Locatelli dropped between the center backs as usual to collect the ball. Bologna, pressing man-to-man, and I want to highlight two players here, Freuler and De Silvestri, and we will come back to them in a moment. Meanwhile, Juventus attacking line, Wea, McKennie, Colomoni, and Nico Gonzalez were all up high and were tightly marked, because as you know, Bologna, under Vincenzo Italiano, they chase you man to man, tirelessly. Now, here's the crux of the situation. We see Cambiaso tucking inside and De Silvestri from his right back position chasing him. However, midway into his run, I think he realized that he was completely out of position, drops back, leaving Cambiaso unmarked in the central position in front of Bologna's basically defensive line. At the same time, Thuram, who was being marked by Ferguson, pushed forward. However, with Thuram pushing forward towards Bologna's backline, Ferguson decided to drop in to fill in for Freuler, because Bologna wanted to keep a five-man backline. And at that point in time, Freuler, who was at the back, dropped out, pushed forward actually, to follow McKennie, who also made that movement towards Wea, who was playing as a right wing back. Wea received the ball, Thuram then eventually gets the ball, completely unmarked in front of Bologna's box, and basically he finishes with a long range effort. I think this was a clean, studied move, clearly something Tudor worked on to expose Bologna's man-to-man pressing. And obviously I invite you to check out the goal to make sure you understand what I am speaking about. Meanwhile, I want to speak also about Bologna's goal, because I think this is where Juve's mental fragility shows. I think they were too passive, because there were no high pressure and no aggression. And it all starts with a long ball from goalkeeper Skorupski to Cambiaghi. I think here Kalulu gives him too much space, despite Juve trying to mark man to man. And here's the problem, because if you have players that are marking man to man, they need to stick to that pressing system until that specific opportunity for the opponent ends. However, Juve were disoriented in their pressing here. Cambiaghi plays it back to Miranda, Bologna recycle, and Juve totally lose their shape. Eventually, Freuler receives the ball centrally, finds Cambiaghi again, and then there is when Bologna scores. And here I want to underline a very important thing, because when a team allows two forward vertical passes with no pressure, they are asking for trouble. And Juventus here were all over the place. And I think this is about mentality and leadership. Juve still lack both of them. The table now. The draw leaves Juventus 4th on 63 points, level with Roma and Lazio, with Bologna just behind on 62. It's wide open. The fight for Champions League spots is going down to the wire, as well as the Serie A. So obviously, these remaining 3 match days of our beloved Serie A will continue to produce very important matches and very interesting outcomes. Obviously, we'll speak about them both on Serie A Spotlight and on Tactics Imperium. My final thoughts. So, that was my breakdown. Napoli, I think, are peaking at the right time. And I think, you know, Conte's cooking up something special. And on the other side, Juventus are still trying to figure out who they are. As always, thanks for tuning in to Tactics Imperium, powered by Serie A Spotlight. Don't forget to follow us on socials, rate this episode, and leave a comment if you are enjoying this series. And hey, make sure to send in your questions. We'll feature some in the next episode, obviously, if you have. See you next time. Ciao, ciao.